Well, Halloween will look very different this year across most of the country. The Centers for Disease Control are discouraging traditional trick-or-treating, which has led to some creative solutions, like one rigged up by Matt Thompson of Detroit.
It is a heavy, you know, wooden beer caddy that rides on a zip line that delivers beer to the adults, but also candy to the kids.
Thompson says he was inspired by a man in Ohio who built a candy chute in his front yard. But Thompson told us he wanted his solution to be a little more high tech.
So there is a steel cable that runs from the roof of our porch to a post I set in. And this caddy is on pulleys. And when I push it, it rolls down all the way to that post where the kids can retrieve the candy. After they've taken these things from it, I have a fishing reel hooked up to a power drill that will then retrieve the caddy and set the zip line back in place.
So I, for one, am not handy enough to build a candy zip line. So what should the rest of us do? Thomas Tsai is an assistant professor at the Harvard School of Public Health, and he joins us now. Hi, Professor.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks. So the CDC has put out some guidelines for Halloween, which say that traditional trick-or-treating is considered high risk, which is like terrible news for kids across the country. Can you explain why it's risky if you stay outside the entire time?
Yeah, Peter. And it is disappointing. I think a lot of children who have been on lockdown or in virtual schooling have been looking forward to interacting with their friends during Halloween. But we have to remember we're still in the midst of a pandemic. And even though that Halloween is traditionally outdoors in terms of trick-or-treating, it still brings people into close contact and close proximity. And that does increase the risk of transmission of COVID-19.
I know a lot of people are wondering about something as simple as the candy itself. Is it a vector? So like if you were to take a piece of candy from your neighbor, should you be worried that it would be infected somehow?
On average, the risk of COVID-19 transmission from services is lower than from an airborne transmission, but the risk isn't zero. And I think it's important to think about Halloween and any other social interaction, not in absolutes of either zero risk or 100% risk. It's all really about a probability of being infected with COVID-19. So the risk isn't zero. Again, you know, with children, with runny noses, it's very easy to potentially contaminate, candy, especially when you have, potentially groups of children reaching into the same candy bowl. So we really have to be thoughtful and take precautions around that as well.
Well, to that point, I mean, the risk is also different everywhere, right? Los Angeles County, for example, recently recommended that people avoid trick-or-treating altogether because of the infection rate there. But there are other places around the country where the caseloads are much lower. Could people make a sort of case-by-case or neighborhood-by-neighborhood decision?
Yes, I think it's a balance of both the risk of the activity versus the risk level of the community-level transmission of COVID-19 in their communities. And the Harvard School of Public Health and the Harvard Global Health Institute, we have a risk-level dashboard that shows you, in terms of your own county, whether the risk of cases is green, yellow, orange, or red based on the number of actively infected individuals on a given day in that county. So in a county that is red, any of the in-person activity is a high risk, and alternatives may be a virtual trick-or-treat or even a drive-by or almost like a parade, which the CDC all consider as low-risk activities. Green areas, then, there may be the opportunity for some closer interactions, but again, the risk isn't zero.
So I hear that you have a little one who's probably a little too small to be trick-or-treating this year. But, I haven't talked to my kids yet about this, and I'm kind of dreading it because I don't know what we're going to do. But I guess, parenting advice is probably beyond your expertise at this point. What do you say? I mean, what would you tell kids?
Yeah. I have a 2-year-old, and I think like every other parent in the pandemic, we're all just trying to figure it out as we go along and incorporate the best advice that's out there. You know, for our 2-year-old, what we've done is, you know, the low-risk activities that the CDC recommends. So, you know, pumpkin carving and doing it on Zoom or FaceTime. So there's still a sort of group feel to it. And, you know, and on our street, we typically have a very large trick-or-treat and people have decorations out there, and our neighbors have decided that that's not a good idea. So, you know, we'll sort of, you know, do a physically distanced sort of parade, and people will kind of stand outside their doors and to each other. So there's still that community feel. The children will be in their costumes. There's still that level of sort of social engagement interaction, but whilst minimizing the risk.
You know, you just remind me that Halloween is one thing, but other holidays are coming up at the end of the year as well, and this is going to be relevant as much now as it is then. So Thomas Tsai, professor at the Harvard School of Public Health, thanks for your advice. We appreciate it.
Thank you.